And I invite you to grab a copy of God's Word and turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. Our text, our primary text, will be John 1, verses 4 and 5, but I'll read verses 1 through 18. So let's give our attention now to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired Word from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and may He bless it to our hearts this Lord's Day. I'll invite you to grab a copy of the Three Forms of Unity, whether that's in the Three Forms, the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, or in the Forms and Prayers book, or online, whichever it may be. And turn with me to Belgic Confession, Article 14. Belgic Confession, Article 14. I've chosen two readings from our Three Forms of Unity that highlight and connect with this theme of light and darkness that we'll be seeing in God's Word. And the first is Belgic Confession, Article 14, the creation and fall of man. We believe that God created man from the dust of the earth and made and formed him in His image and likeness, good, just, and holy, able by His own will to conform in all things to the will of God. But when He was in honor, He did not understand it and did not recognize His excellence. But He subjected Himself willingly to sin and consequently to death and the curse, lending His ear to the word of the devil. For He transgressed the commandment of life, which He had received. And by His sin He separated Himself from God, who was His true life, having corrupted His entire nature. So He made Himself guilty and subject to physical and spiritual death, having become wicked, perverse, and corrupt in all His ways. He lost all His excellent gifts, which He had received from God, and He retained none of them except for small traces, which are enough to make Him inexcusable. Moreover, all the light in us is turned to darkness. As the Scripture teaches us, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not receive it. Here John calls men darkness. And then we'll hear from the Canons of Dort, third and fourth head of doctrine, Article 10 on the conversion on conversion as the work of God. So Canons of Dort, third and fourth head of doctrine, Article 10, on conversion as the work of God. And this is what we believe and confess based on God's Word. The fact that others who are called through the ministry of the gospel do come and are brought to conversion must not be credited to man, as though one distinguishes himself by free choice from others who are furnished with equal or sufficient grace for faith and conversion, as the proud heresy of Pelagius maintains. No, it must be credited to God, Just as from eternity He chose His own in Christ, so within time He effectively calls them, grants them faith and repentance, and having rescued them from the dominion of darkness, brings them into the kingdom of His Son, in order that they may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called them out of darkness into this marvelous light, and may boast not in themselves, but in the Lord, as apostolic words frequently testify in Scripture. Amen to that. And once again, our primary text in this sermon is the Gospel of John 1, verse 4 to 5, which says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Well, when I was a kid, I loved so many of the things about Christmas time and the Christmas traditions that go with it. Of course, I always loved the presents on Christmas Day. But I also loved the Christmas songs and the Christmas food. But as I get older, one of the things that I have grown to love more and more is the Christmas decorations, and especially the lights. What about you? Do you enjoy seeing Christmas lights yourself? Lights on the Christmas tree, lights on the rooftops, lights out front on the bushes, all the things you can buy now to decorate your front lawn that light it up. And now they even have, you know, lights that dance to music. You can turn on the radio on your car if you have one still in your car, and you can watch the lights dancing to the music as it's playing. But Christmas isn't first and foremost about these traditions in and of themselves. What is Christmas ultimately about? Well, it's about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's about God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and being born into this world that He made. God the Son, who is fully God, equal with God the Father and God the Spirit, added forever, permanently, a true human nature to Himself. And it's a true human nature, like yours and mine in every way, except for sin. And why did He do that? Why did Christ come? Why did He enter into this fallen, sinful world of suffering? Well, as we saw last week, we began to see one of the many reasons that He came. And one was that He came to save sinners. And then we also saw that He came to bind up broken hearts. And then this afternoon or morning, whenever you're watching this, we'll see that He also came to bring light to a dark world. As He declared in John 12, verse 46, "I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in Me may not remain in darkness." And as I'm getting older, I'm learning more and more to treasure Christ in our traditions at Christmas time and throughout the year. I'm beginning to see the symbolism behind the Christmas decorations that remind us of who Jesus is. And why might we as Christians put up lights at Christmas time? How can we treasure Christ in that tradition? Well, not only because it's beautiful to behold the lights, but even more to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. Isaiah prophesied about the light that was to come, and Jesus, when He said in Isaiah 9, verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." And that prophecy came about when Jesus came into this world. As John says here in John 1, verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus also says in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." And so why did Christ come? Christ came to bring light to a dark world. He is the light of the world. And notice with me two things here from our text. First, the benefits of the light of Jesus. And then secondly, the battle of the light against the darkness. So the benefits of the light of Jesus and the battle of the light and the darkness. First, the benefits of the light of Jesus. Think about all the benefits of light. Light reveals. In the first place, it reveals. I'll give you four benefits here. The first is that light reveals. Without light, you can't see. But when you turn on a light, you can see. Children, what do you do when you can't see anything in your home because it's dark? Maybe you get up in the middle of the night and you got to go to the washroom, or you got to go to get a drink of water or something. What do? Well, you turn on a light so that you don't bang into things. Often I grab my light on my phone so that I'm not going to walk into a wall or trip and stub my toe or fall down the stairs or break something. Light reveals. It reveals the stuff around us that we can see where we're going. And if Jesus is the light of the world, we need to ask, what does Jesus reveal? Or whom does Jesus reveal? And we find in the Bible that Jesus reveals God the Father to us. As we just read in John 1 verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God or the only begotten God, who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. He has made Him known. Jesus said to Philip in John 14 verse 8, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus reveals God the Father to us. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If you want to see God the Father, look at Jesus. He does everything that the Father would do. He is one with the Father. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Jesus is the fullest revelation of God because He is God. He's God the Son, the only begotten, eternal Son of God. Remember what the angel said to Joseph when he was announcing to Joseph in a dream that Mary is with child. He said that they shall call His name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And so light reveals. But not only does light reveal, light also warms. The sunlight warms us. We know that, don't we? Have you ever laid under the sun at the beach or a pool? That sounds kind of nice in the middle of winter, right? To be on a warm, sunny beach or at a pool in the heat of summer. And when you lay under the sunlight, was it cold or was it warm? Well, it was warm, right? That's one of the nice things. You get out of the water and you can towel off or you can just not towel off. But either way, you lay out in the sun and it warms you up. I remember as a child growing up, I always thought it was fun to watch my cats sunbathe or my dog sunbathe in the sunlight that was coming through the window. And you just think, oh, that looks nice. Must be nice to be a cat or a dog right now and just bask in that warm sunlight. And so light reveals and light warms. And Jesus is the light of the world, and He warms us too. He comforts us and gives us hope in the cold darkness of this world. Perhaps you often feel sad and depressed and the coldness of sin and suffering and the sorrows of this world. Perhaps this is a difficult time for you where you're lonely, you're sad, you're missing family, or maybe you're sick. You got bad news from the doctor about your health. Maybe you have cancer, maybe you have diabetes, maybe you have some other illness that's bumming you out, or maybe somebody you love has an illness. Or maybe you're just depressed and sad because of the coronavirus and how that's affected our economy and how that's affected society, and we can't see each other as much as we used to. Perhaps you're sad and your heart feels cold from all the political and civil unrest that's going on in the world right now. And we could go on and on. This world is a veil of tears. It's a cold, dark world with evil and suffering. But the good news is that Jesus came into this world. And He came to bring light to a dark world. And that includes this idea of warmth. With warmth for our cold, sad hearts. And so light reveals and light warms. And furthermore, light guides. Children, if you are camping and you want to go for a walk on a trail at night, what do you need to see so that you can stay on the right path? Well, you need a flashlight, right? Or as my South African friends call it, you need a torch. And children, perhaps you remember that God Himself led the Israelites in the wilderness by a pillar of cloud by day. And what by night? Well, a pillar of fire. Right? Light guides. It keeps us on the right path. If you go out in the wilderness at night, you want to stay on the right path, you need a flashlight to stay on the right path. The God led the Israelites through the wilderness at night with a pillar of fire to keep them on the right path, following Him. And God's Word is like that. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's Word directs our path, beloved. It directs our path in this dark world. It reveals to us the wisdom of God for making wise decisions. There's a whole genre of the Scriptures known as the wisdom literature of the Bible. But really, the whole Bible reveals God's wisdom to us in various ways. And not only that, but God's Word guides us in the path of righteousness and keeps us from sin. The psalmist also said in the Psalms, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God." And so that's why it's good to memorize Scripture and to meditate on it and hide it in our hearts so that we might know God's holy law. He is our Creator. He made us. He knows what's wise. He knows what's good for us. He knows what path we ought to walk in. And He guides us with His law so that we might not sin against God. So that we might glorify God, rather. And so that we might love others, love God and love others. And this is what will ultimately bring us delight in this world. But this is how God's Word guides us in the way of wisdom and righteousness. And if Jesus is the light of the world, the Word of God made flesh, then He is the supreme guide. He's our supreme guide, shining the light for us on the way of wisdom and righteousness. Colossians 2 verse 3 says, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Jesus says in John 8 verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so Jesus guides us in life. He is always leading us on the right paths as we follow Him, as He is revealed in the Bible, and He is a sure guide. He won't let you down, as, you know, sometimes our maps or our GPS system sometimes do. He will lead us to our ultimate destination in the new heavens and new earth by His Word and Spirit. And so light reveals, it reveals to us God, Jesus reveals to us God the Father as the light of the world. Light warms us, and Jesus as the light of the world warms our hearts in this cold, dark world with the promises of the gospel. And He guides us. Light guides us, and Jesus as the light of the world guides us in the ways of wisdom and righteousness. And fourthly, light plays a part in producing life. If you want a plant to grow, what does it need to grow? It needs food, it needs water, and sunlight. Light has a life-giving property to it. It conveys and stimulates life. And you see those connections of life and light in John 1. We ourselves need a certain amount of sunlight, don't we, to have a healthy and happy life. This is why, you know, if you live in Vancouver or Seattle, where there's not very much sunlight there. It might be warmer temperatures there, but less sunlight than here. And so many people will take vitamin D supplements. But even here, people take that as well. But we know, right, when the sun is darkened for a while, or we aren't getting out of the house enough, and we're not getting that light, that sunlight, that vitamin D, the light that we need, then it zaps our life, right? We start to get depressed and sad, seasonal affective disorder, as they call it. And so we need light. It's as for a happy and healthy life. And we ultimately need Jesus as our light, because Jesus gives us eternal life if we believe in Him. And so those are the benefits of light. And isn't light amazing? Just light itself. Isn't it a wonderful gift from God, our Creator, who created light? And how much more amazing then is Jesus, who is the light of the world and gives us the eternal benefits of our salvation. But our salvation came at a great cost through a battle of the light and the darkness. And so let's consider then our second point, the battle of the light and the darkness. We've seen the benefits of the light of Jesus. Now we see the battle of the light and the darkness. And we see this in verse 5 of John 1, where he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The word darkness here represents evil. It's life apart from Christ and all His saving benefits, apart from the life and light that He gives. It's the spiritual darkness of sin and evil. Later John says in John 3 verse 19, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." You know, sometimes we don't like light, do we? For example, when I was in high school, I had to get my wisdom teeth removed, and both sides of my face swelled up like a chipmunk. Kind of like that. And I was embarrassed by it. I was embarrassed to go out in daylight. And my friends wanted to go out that night, which I was willing to because it was darker outside. It was dark outside. But even then, I wore a hood to darken my face as much as possible so that light wouldn't reveal my huge swollen chipmunk cheeks. You see, we prefer darkness when the light might expose something that we don't want others to see, something that embarrasses us, our blemishes. And we also don't like light when we are guilty of something and the light exposes our guilt. Children, maybe one time you were out of bed at bedtime when you were supposed to be in bed, but you were goofing off and your mom or your dad came and they flipped on the light and it revealed that you were disobeying and you were goofing off when you should be in bed. And now you're in trouble. And in that moment, you didn't care so much for the light, right? Because then they can see you crossing the line. Or maybe you, husbands, you were middle of the night, you're sneaking into the freezer to get ice cream and take a bite straight out of the ice cream jar. And your wife flips on the light to catch you eating ice cream in that moment. And you are caught. And we don't care as much for the light in those moments when it reveals our guilt, crossing some kind of a boundary, but even more when we sin. The light of Christ exposes our sin, our guilt. The light of Jesus is like this too. It exposes our shame and guilt because of our sin. It reveals where we have broken God's law and not lived a life of love like Jesus. But if we run away and scurry into the darkness like a cockroach, we will remain in darkness and be under God's just judgment because of our sin. But if we come to Jesus by faith, realizing that He not only exposes our sins, but also reveals the comforting and cleansing light of the gospel, then the light is good news for us as well. Because the gospel says in 1 John 1 verse 7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One way to think about it is like this. It's like the lights on the top of a police car. Those lights can be either bad news or good news. When a police officer is driving behind us and he turns his lights on, it's bad news if we were driving too fast or rolled through a stop sign. It's bad news because we broke the law and now we have to pay a ticket. And perhaps we feel guilty and ashamed about it as well. But if our car breaks down in the middle of Saskatchewan during a cold winter's day, and our cell phone's not working barely, or whatever, and we need help, and we see those police lights coming our way, well, then it brings us great comfort and assurance. Why? Because help is on the way. Help is coming. And light, you see, can be good news or bad news. But for the one who believes in Jesus and trusts in Him for salvation, the light is good news. It's the best news ever. As Jesus said in John 12:46, I've come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And so if you trust in Jesus to save you from the darkness of your sins, then He is the light of your salvation. And He saves you from your sins by taking the judgment of your sin, that your sins deserved, on the cross. He Himself never once sinned, but the guilt of all our sins were placed on Jesus on the cross, if we believe in Him. And God punished Him in our place for our sins. And on the cross it seemed like the light of the world was snuffed out, like when you snuff out a candle. It seemed like the darkness of the world and the devil and our sin overcame Jesus. It seemed like the light lost the battle against darkness when at the sixth hour, as Jesus hung on the cross, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, as Matthew 27 records. But John 1 verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus overcame the darkness of the world, the devil, and our sin by conquering them through His life, death, and resurrection. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was the dawning light of the new creation. And if you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you too will be a child of the light, a beloved child of God, as John says in John 1, verse 12, to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Or as Paul puts it in Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now that's the good news. And it's all a free gift of grace. You don't earn it. Jesus earned it for you. And so simply receive it as a gift by trusting in Christ's work alone. And if you don't trust in Christ alone for salvation, then I must warn you that you are on the wrong side of the great battle of light versus darkness and will regret it when Jesus returns. Because when Jesus returns as the light of the world, He will cast out the darkness of this present world and those who rejected Him along with the devil into the eternal lake of fire. And you will forever suffer God's just condemnation in hell forever. But if you trust in Jesus, you have nothing to fear about Jesus' return. You can rest assured that you are forgiven of all your sins and you have eternal life in His name. You can eagerly look forward to His return, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you forever and will guide you in the truth of God's Word to your eternal home in the new heavens and new earth. And so you can look back at Christmas time with thankfulness for what Jesus did for you to save you from your sins. And you can look forward to His return when He will remove the darkness of this world forever. All the evil and suffering will be gone forever. And the light of Christ's perfect presence will bring us abundant life forever in the new creation. It will be a place where love, joy, and peace will reign supreme, and we will bask in the warmth of God's love for us in Christ forever. So who is Jesus Christ, and why did He come? Jesus is the light of the world who came to bring light to a dark world. And when you see Christmas lights at Christmas time, remember that good news. Remember that Jesus is the light of the world. He reveals God the Father to us. He warms our hearts in this cold, dark world with the promises of the gospel. He guides us in the way of righteousness and wisdom so that we can stay on the right path for the glory of God and the good of others. And He also gives us eternal life. And so let us rest in the warmth of Jesus, the light of the world this day. Let us believe in Him and bask in the benefits of our salvation in Him. Let us walk in the light as children of the light, pointing others to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Jesus is the light for everyone who will repent of their sins and believe in Him for eternal life. And so let us point others to Him and reflect His light. And let us look forward to the day where we will see Him face to face and be like Him and enter into the light of everlasting life in the new creation. And John describes that light in Revelation 22. And I'll end with this scripture reading from Revelation 22, verse 1 to 5. This is what we have to look forward to in Christ. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen.